What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Right now, I'd like to welcome to the program Phil Bell. He is the Director of External Affairs at FreedomWorks, the website freedomworks.org. Welcome to the show. Phil, how are you?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Well, I think Tommy made a boo-boo because he didn't ask my name. I'm not Bill. My name is Kirk.
Oh.
But I just had a quick comment.
Yeah, go for it, Kirk. Okay, I thought you were actually the guest that we had lined up.
I was wondering, because that whole transaction sounded kind of strange. But anyway, I just got through voting on the Libertarian ticket because I tried to change my party affiliation a while back, and the DMV wouldn't do it because it wasn't doing transaction. Long story short, I just thought I'd point out on the Libertarian ballot, they had president and governor, and the first guy on the president's list, I had to go for this guy because his name is David Time Traveler Dunlap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how can you not vote for that guy?
Yeah, I mean,
I know nothing about him.
Right. If he's mastered time travel, then I got to believe he's going to be able to do wonders for the country.
Exactly. There are several others. There's a toad on there and a few other nondescript names. But
why do you think the Libertarian Party isn't treated seriously?
Because everyone thinks they're a bunch of potheads. I mean, I changed my party affiliation pretty much the same reason you did a while back. Of a protest, and then I just kept blowing it off and never bothered to change it to independent, like what my wife suggested I should. That way I could actually vote for Falwell. But anyway. Seriously, because everyone thinks they're all about pot, and they have other bizarre. I remember the two guys you had on there debating that were running for Senate.
Yeah.
The Libertarian and the Green Party guy.
Yeah.
And the Libertarian, he had some off the, you know, I don't necessarily, they don't, like you, they don't necessarily represent everything I believe.
Sure. Right. And this is what, and look, I'm not going to agree with everything that every candidate from any party is going to promote, obviously. Libertarian candidates, I don't agree with a lot of the stuff that they're, like on immigration, foreign policy stuff, I have disagreements on. I think like, those are policy disagreements. You know, when you're running with the name Time Traveler or you're stripping down naked at the national convention on stage, like, I think these are the reasons why sometimes people don't take the party seriously. And it's really a shame because there are a lot of, there are a lot of honest and, you know, good faith brokers in the libertarian movement, and they get painted with that brush.
Exactly. I mean, like I said, I voted just because I knew I'd have very little to vote on. It took me 2 seconds, but I went and voted because it's my privilege to do so.
Yeah.
But,
no, I got you.
Yeah, I wish I'd been able to change it to independent, so I could have. I wasn't so much concerned about the president's race, but the governor's race, I believe, is something real important. You know, and I just
You will be able to do that after the election is over. So
yeah, they gave me a form so I can go ahead and just send it in myself because, you know, I drive a truck, so I don't always have the time.
Right.
I stopped in Mount Holly one day to see if I can just shoot in there, and I said, no, you got, we're not doing that unless you're doing a transaction.
Right. Whoa, hang on. Don't tell people about the Mount Holly office, okay?
Well, I've known about that. Actually, when I got my license for the first time back in 88, it was in downtown Mount Holly.
Okay.
I don't know how well you know that area, but yeah, ever since it's been over there, ever since Destination X, we won't.
Nothing. It's like a fishing hole. Come on, man. Don't tell people the hill that you sled down. You don't tell people these things are.
I remember when you said you got your license and it was so smooth and fast and all that. I knew exactly where you went because that place is, but it's not that great anymore.
Oh, really? It was better? Look, I'm comparing it
now.
I'm comparing it to Mecklenburg County.
Well, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah.
Then it's smooth as ice.
Right, exactly. All right, Kirk, I appreciate the call, buddy.
Thanks, Pete.
All right, see you, man. All right, so that was not Phil. Let's go over here to Chris. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Pete.
Hey, what's up?
I was just listening to the news broadcast.
Yeah.
And the guy used the term vote getter.
Yeah.
Not vote tainer.
Yeah.
and I was very disappointed.
I was as well. I'm thinking I'm gonna have to lean on some people back there. I'm gonna have to go into the newsroom, and probably actually I'm just gonna have to bribe them. I think that's what it's gonna take. Oh, you know what though? I could maybe go above everyone's heads and go to like the boss and say like, hey, let's make this happen, and we could and then we get WBT in the history books, you know,
or at least in the dictionary.
Right.
I just want this to be registered as a complaint.
Okay. All right. I'll pass it on, Chris. I appreciate it. No, it's fair. I heard it too. I hear it every time. Every time I hear the term vote getter, I hear it and I cringe. I hate the word so much. That's why we launched this endeavor, lo, those many years ago. And when I say this, I'm talking like a decade. It's been a decade. I've been more successful getting people to zipper merge than I have getting them to use the term votainer. This is the cross I bear. I don't know why. It's such an easy word to use, easy to spell. For example, if you were going to write out the term vote getter, do you hyphenate that? You could. I think I might. I think I should, but I'm not sure. Could it be one word? Yeah, it could be one word, I guess, too. It could be two separate words. This is what I mean, people. We don't have a uniform way of writing the word. That's the first sign that this is a bad word. Second sign is it sounds awkward. It sounds like a made-up word, you know? It sounds like a made-up word. Like you're trying to sound smarter than you are, but you fell short, you know? That's what the word sounds like. It's just a terrible word. And votainer is powerful. It's like it knows what it's doing, you know? It's like I'm here on a mission. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I have purpose, you know? That's what it conveys. I don't know. So maybe I need to go to the boss and get him to send out like a directive. I mean, look, I don't like to do this. You know, I don't like forcing people to do things. I'm a lowercase L libertarian. I want people to be persuaded. But this is taking a really long time. And I'm going weary of the fight. I mentioned this story earlier. A new investigation showing President Joe Biden has secretly flown hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants from Latin American airports into 43 U.S. cities. The unusual program, kept from the public, involved at least 320,000 illegal immigrants that the administration admits are, quote, inadmissible immigrants. That is far more than previously reported. Despite facing a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit from the Center for Immigration Studies, the U.S. Customs and Border Protection has refused to identify the 43 airports it is dumping immigrants at after direct flights from Latin America. They're just mainlining them here now. Which you would think would act as some sort of a pressure release off of the southern border, right? Because if I could just buy a plane ticket, use the Customs and Border Patrol app, and then get a direct flight into an American airport, and then just get processed through immediately, why not just do that and avoid the potential raping and murdering along the Darien jungle path? I mean, it just seems to make a lot more sense to me, but this is CIS report, Center for Immigration Studies report, says while large immigrant receiving cities and media lay blame for the influx on Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott's busing program, CBP has withheld from the center and apparently will not disclose the names of the 43 U.S. airports that have received 320,000 inadmissible aliens from January through December of 2023. That's 1 year's total. Nor the foreign airports from which they departed. Right? So think about this. Right? Not only is it the numbers aspect, but it's also the political backlash component here, where people have been blaming Texas and Florida too, but no, not Arizona because they got a Democrat governor now. But Texas has been busing people to other cities, right? And all the focus, all the ire has been directed at Texas, when in fact, the federal government, Biden's government, has been flying hundreds of thousands of people into these cities too. And they've just sat back and let Abbott take the heat. Tim says, Pete, it's a Pete tweet. Tim says, Pete, I just looked up Votainer on Wikipedia and no entry. Well, actually, hang on a second. Tim, I think I've identified a problem. You have spelled Votainer incorrectly. You have spelled it as Votainer. Votainer, with two T's there and an E in the middle of them. So no, it's not V-O-T-E-T-A-I-N-E-R. It's not that. It's you got to combine the two words, attain and vote, vote attainer. So you combine it, V-O-T-A-I-N-E-R. V-O-T-A-I-N-E-R. Votainer, all one word. Anyway, he says you can create a draft and submit it for review. As you know, if it's on Wikipedia, it is real. Just trying to pay it forward as a fellow giver. Yes, thank you very much, Tim. I appreciate it. I don't know if they would allow that. You know what I could do? I could get some articles published in some soft science peer-reviewed journal. Make some sort of a connection to DEI, critical race theory, or white supremacy, or white fragility, something like that. If I can find a hook there, I could say that the term vote getter has like this long history anchored in the patriarchy. And I could make a whole argument like that and then say Votainer is the clear favorite as an inclusive term. And then once I construct the whole argument like that, I get it published in a peer-reviewed soft science, maybe like sociology or something, journal, then I would cite that in the submission to Wikipedia and the dictionary. And then once I get that going, then it's just snowball effect. Yeah, but I don't want to have to write the thing. So I guess that's... If somebody else wants to write it up, go for it. Like, it's a team effort here. Like, I can't do it all, you know? I mean, I didn't even come up with it. It was a listener in Asheville that came up with the term. All I've been doing is, promoting it, just talking about it when I remember. So if somebody else wants to do, like, the actual work of making it happen, that would be awesome. All right, hey, maybe you have heard by now DraftKings Sportsbook is coming to North Carolina. It's coming soon. On March 11th, to be exact, DraftKings is one of America's top-rated sports books with same-game parlays, money lines, and props. The best features like odds boost and live betting and social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time. DraftKings is safe, it's secure, and reliable, and best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. And it all starts on March 11th. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and then place your bets on your favorite sports once it goes live. And again, it goes live on March 11th. And now here's the disclaimer. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Eligibility restrictions apply, subject to regulatory licensing requirements, and see terms at draftkings.com/sportsbook/NC. Email Pete at thepetecallinershow.com and on Twitter at Pete Callinor. Got a message from Dennis, who says regarding the immigrant air, the illegal aliens that are being flown into that. I assume it's continuing, but in 2023 there were 320,000 illegal immigrants flown direct from Latin America, Central South American airports into American airports. But the Biden administration is refusing to say which airports, the 43 airports where they arrived. They're not saying. Dennis says, my feeble math just made me aware that the 320,000, but close. 340,000 illegals the Biden crime syndicate flew in from God knows where, assuming approximately 300 per flight, results in like 1,300 flights. How does this happen? Nobody was watching? This is insane. new in its investigation, this is the investigation by the Center for Immigration Studies, or CIS. New in its investigation is the administration's claims that it is keeping the city secret because it is concerned that, quote, bad actors might undermine law enforcement efforts. Wait, why does Nicolas Cage got to get brought into this? That is not fair. He's got nothing to do with this topic. Okay, but whatever. So they don't want bad actors to undermine law enforcement efforts to secure the United States border if they knew the volume of the traffic that is processed at each port of entry. And the traffic that is being processed is through the CBP1 app. It's through the app on the phone. So the reason why they don't want to disclose the airports where all of the flights are coming in is because they don't want our enemies to know how many flights are arriving and how fast they're getting in through the app. Guys, if the Center for Immigration Studies is now aware of it, and the Washington Examiner that did the story, this is by Paul Bedard at Washington Examiner, right? Okay, if I know about this, you can guarantee the bad actors already do, okay? If I'm aware of the story now, then the bad actors are way ahead of us. That's the thing about criminals, you know? They know all the ins and outs of all of these things, all the systems. They know how to game the system. They know what the rules are. They know how to beat them, right? But that's amazing that they don't want to undermine law enforcement efforts to, quote, secure the United States border. And so that's why we can't tell you how many people were flying directly into the airports in violation of the border security. The program at issue is Biden's scheme of letting illegal immigrants to use an app to gain access to the U.S. without having to travel through Mexico. That's the point of the app, the CBP1 app, which is just a terrible name, CBP1. Underway, it got underway in late 2022, according to the report's author, Todd Bensman. Quote, under these legally dubious parole programs, aliens who cannot legally enter the country use this app to apply for travel authorization and temporary humanitarian release from the airports. The parole program allows for two-year periods of legal status during which adults are eligible for work authorization. Upon receiving authorization from Washington, they buy air passage to U.S. international airports where CBP personnel process them for release. All are said to be responsible for paying for their own airfare. That can be thousands of dollars less and less dangerous than traveling through Mexico to the California, Arizona, or Texas border, though. Right? The direct flight program, by the way, you may want to sit down for this. This is a program that is in addition to another one. There's another program that gives CBP1 users a green light into the U.S., and the CIS report says that one has brought in 420,000. So it's not 320,000, it's 320 plus 420, which is 740,000. This is 750,000 illegal immigrants using this app to fly direct. So they get pre-cleared. It's like TSA's pre-clearance check, right? No, it's not actually. Because in order to get the TSA pre-clearance thing, you as an American citizen, me as a citizen, we have to go through far more of a background check and security checks and such. Like we have to get far more paperwork lined up in order to get one of the fast lanes at the airport. We don't even get the app. And by the way, people have sent this over to me on a couple of occasions. And it's funny because I saw this movie when it first came out. It was called The Second Civil War. It was on HBO. It was in 1997. And I watched it. It had Dennis O'Leary in it. The comedian, the guy who did the No Cure for Cancer, and they did the whole firefighter show, whatever. Anyway. But there was he was one of the actors in the movie. And it was a great movie. And I saw that, 97. And I keep thinking about it because so much of what I'm seeing now was prophesized in the movie. Because the Second Civil War in the movie, the war erupts over the federal government taking in immigrants in such large numbers that they overload states and eventually the states fight back. Oh, spoiler alert. Sorry. Sorry about that. Spoiler alert. Well, I mean, come on. It's from 1997. But yes, people have asked me if I've seen this movie. I have seen the movie. I've got a write-up here at thefederalist.com from Mark Hemingway. So if you haven't seen the movie and want to know when you hear people talk about it, this is what they're talking about, I will give you some of the details.
All right. Do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay, so what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply. At CarolinaReadiness.com, whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville and always at CarolinaReadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
Message from Keith. Pete, hope you're all well. I am pretty hacked off at this point. Immigrants got debit cards. They got lodging. They get travel expenses. My mom worked for 30 years, and for what? To give it away in taxes? It goes to illegal immigrants. I worked hard to pay my student loans off, and folks are getting their loans dismissed. Maybe I'm the idiot. Maybe we should sneak up to New York City and pose as immigrants so we can get benefits, or sneak it to Mexico. Right. Well, yeah. I don't know if I would recommend that. I think they have a pretty hard line on illegal immigration down there. From America to there, I think. Alrighty, so this is Mark Hemingway at thefederalist.com. Stop me if you've heard this one before. A red state governor in the midst of a nationwide immigration crisis defies the president and shuts down the state's borders to prevent more immigrants from coming in. This leads other states suffering from the effects of mass illegal immigration to rally around that state to find the president. And then they all send troops to that state's borders. Incredibly, this is the plot of the Second Civil War, a made-for-HBO movie in 1997. The film languishes in obscurity despite its notable prescience, which is a shame, because it's also a surprisingly incisive, entertaining, and well-made film. But for the Second Civil War to have a second life, first, you have to know about the film. It was directed by Joe Dante. He directed Gremlins. Also, Inner Space, Explorers, The Howling, The Burbs, Matinee. Second Civil War in this movie. Dante is on record, by the way, as saying that he considers the Second Civil War the best film he has ever done. You can rent it on Amazon Prime's video service. The film takes place, quote, somewhere in the near future, and is a broad and consistently amusing satire that takes aim at just about every political center of power in America. The movie employs a very meta but very effective plot device. Almost all of the action is explicated through reporters on the scene of various locations. Right, so you got all these reporters all over the country. The White House, they're at the state capitol. They're embedded with the military. So then you have this whole other layer of like the media decisions on what gets covered, how it gets covered, that kind of stuff. Those producers are all having internal arguments about how to cover the unfolding crisis as they ping back and forth between the on-the-ground perspectives of reporters at different locations. Telling the story this way could have been a mess, but in the hands of a skilled veteran director like Dante, it works quite well. And while the film did not predict the perversity of online discourse, because it was before all of the social media and such, the illustration of the media's disturbing incentives
is nonetheless accurate and perceptive. James Earl Jones is in it. James Coburn, Dan Hedaya, Beau Bridges, Dennis Leary, Elizabeth Pena, Ron Perlman, and Phil Hartman plays the president. And there's also some politicians as well that make appearances. I highly recommend.
All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.